Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, January 24, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. Well, let's cover some local news and then move on beyond. Evidently, the Yonkers Police Department are cracking down on drivers who illegally pass school buses. The city of Yonkers is cracking down on drivers who illegally pass school buses that have their safety arms extended. Well, when the school bus stops, has red lights flashing, and a stop arm extended, traffic approaching from either direction is supposed to stop before reaching the bus. Well, safety cameras have been installed on the buses to catch drivers in the act. The cameras not only record the offense, but also captures the license plate of the vehicle so a summons can be mailed to the registered voter. A fine by mail is $250 for the first offense, $275 for a second, and $300 for a third when a driver is caught on camera. If an officer drives cites a driver, the fine is $250 to $400 fine for the first conviction with the possibility of 30 days in jail. And drivers will also get 5 points on their license. Yonkers kicked off the program last October, making it the biggest city in the state to implement the technology so far. After a month-long warning period for drivers, police have issued nearly 5,000 summonses so far. Well, Yonkers Police Commissioner Christopher Sapienza said that some residents have been surprised to receive summonses for failing to stop in the opposite direction of traffic on wide, divided thoroughfares like Central Avenue. Sapienza is reminding drivers that it's the law to stop in both directions. The cameras have been installed on 80% of the city's school buses. The entire fleet should be equipped by the end of February. So it's something to remember and to think about, that's for sure. Now let's just look at some other things here. This is very, very interesting. I never expected this to come about, but hey, things happen. One second here. It seems that 9 people have been arrested after a secret tunnel was found at a Chabad headquarters in Brooklyn. Well, out of Crown Heights, Brooklyn, we hear that police say that 9 worshippers were arrested amid a dispute over a tunnel secretly dug into the side of a historic Brooklyn synagogue, setting off a brawl between police and those who tried to defend the makeshift passageway. Well, authorities responded to the Chabad Lubavitch World Headquarters at 770 Eastern Parkway in Crown Heights on Monday afternoon. Moti Siegelson, a spokesperson for Chabad, said that a group of extremist students had secretly broken through the walls of a vacant building behind the headquarters, creating an underground passage beneath a row of office buildings and lecture halls that eventually connected to the synagogue. Well, the tunnel had been previously discovered. It is believed the vandals went rogue and tried to expand the synagogue. When a cement truck was brought in to fill the tunnel, the men are accused of standing in the tunnel and refusing to leave and causing mayhem. Video shot by witnesses showed that police confronting young men standing within a hollowed-out space inside a brick wall. After officers removed one of the men from the dusty crevice, a group of onlookers can be seen shoving officers, tossing wooden desks, and scattering prayer books. One officer appeared to deploy an irritating spray at the jeering group. It wasn't immediately clear when the tunnel was constructed or what purpose it served. The 9 men between the ages of 19 and 21 years of age were charged with criminal mischief and reckless endangerment. One was also charged with obstruction of governmental administration. The New York City Fire Department spokesperson, Amanda Farinacci, said the agency received an anonymous tip about the location last month. But when a fire prevention team responded on December 20, the tunnel was not detected, and they found all of the exits operable and up to a code, Farinacci said. Well, two violations were issued: failing to obtain a certificate of operation for the place of assembly and failing to provide access to inspect the sprinkler main shutoff valve at the time of the inspection. Well, the Lubavitch World Headquarters is temporarily closed pending a review of the structural integrity of the building. Well, Lubavitch officials say they've attempted to gain proper control of the premises through the New York State court system, but they say that process has dragged on for years. The following statement was released from Chabad Lubavitch headquarters. The Chabad Lubavitch community is pained by the vandalism of a group of young agitators who damaged the synagogue below Chabad headquarters at 770 Eastern Parkway Monday night. And these odious actions will be investigated and the sanctity of the synagogue will be restored. Our thanks to the NYPD for their professionalism and sensitivity. We are grateful to the outpouring of concern and for the support of our Chabad Lubavitch institutions around the world. The headquarters was also the epicenter of the 1991 Crown Heights riots, which began after a 7-year-old boy was struck and killed by a car in the rabbi's motorcade. All kinds of stuff happening all over the world. It's frightening. It's just amazing, actually. We'll cover some other news as well. Bear with me a second here. Let's look at what's going on with regard to Palestinian territories and the conflicts there. Oil, aid, and airspace. Arab leaders' options on the Gaza conflict. Seems the humanitarian situation in Gaza, as well as public anger at home, is putting pressure on Arab leaders. And some radical measures have been suggested, such as an oil embargo. But what options do Arab states really have? It's often described as the world's first oil crisis. In the early 1970s, oil production Arab states decided to impose an oil embargo on the United States and others, including the Netherlands and Portugal, to punish them for their support of Israel. In October of 1973, Syria and Egypt had launched attacks on Israel in an attempt to recapture territory, including the Sinai Peninsula and Golan Heights, that Israel had occupied after the Arab-Israeli fighting in 1967. Other Arab nations, such as leading oil producer Saudi Arabia, supported the effort with the oil weapon, quote-unquote, as it was described by some at that time. Well, the oil embargo ran until 1974 and had severe repercussions. Global oil prices rose by 300%, sparking high inflation and causing gasoline shortages and public fury in the United States. The embargo also helped force U.S. diplomats to intervene in the region and bring the Egyptians and Israelis were fighting then to the negotiating table. So why not use the oil weapon again now? Some countries, including Algeria and Lebanon, suggested at a November meeting in Saudi Arabia, where Arab leaders discussed how they should react to the current Gaza conflict. Well, the idea was quickly dismissed, with officials from Saudi Arabia an essential player in any such embargo. When it comes to reacting to the conflict in Gaza, Arab states face a bit of a conundrum, said Khaled El-Hindi, the director of the Washington-based Middle East Institute's program on Israeli-Palestinian affairs. They are trying to balance various competing interests, he told Deutsche Welle. On one hand, they want to demonstrate to their Arab public, to their own public, which are extremely angry at both Israel and the United States, that they are supportive of Palestinians. On the other, They don't want to do anything that would jeopardize their relations with the United States in particular, further inflaming violence in the region or destabilize their own regimes. So those are some of the major problems in the Middle East. Now let me just look quickly. Okay, one second. All right. One second here. One second. I'm sorry for coughing. I don't know what I caught, but it's just like a phlegm. One second. All right, 1 minute here. Okay. All right, 1 second here. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, 1 second. I've lost my space here. All right, I'm not quite sure where we are here. I can't seem to find my place. So, unfortunately, I'm really, I know for some reason I can't seem to pick up the site. Something must have gone wrong. I'm not sure what it is. All right, so it's just about 13 minutes into the hour that we expected to spend with you, but unfortunately, we're not going to be able to move forward. So hopefully we'll be able to speak to you tomorrow. Take care, and thank you for your patience. I'm sorry for the interruption.